Oh, Canada, our home and native land, true patriot love in all thy sons command.
Welcome back to Middays with Marcus Maben, delivered by Papa John's on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Marcus Maben.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Midday with Marcus Maben. 8150, 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. Enjoy the music, people.
The new kings of basketball. Thanks, John. Thanks, John. Canada rules the basketball world now.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, people, John.
This is why I didn't want the United States of America to participate in 3-on-3 international basketball. What do we have left if we don't have USA basketball?
Why we can't have nice things? It's John Calipari.
Calipari, did you lose to Canada? Did you let somebody go for 40 points on you on the Olympic team?
Sad.
Is that what you let happen?
Sad.
So, Steve.
Canadian kids in gyms everywhere now.
Oh, they're filling their self.
Just challenging kids.
They're filling their self.
Yeah.
Right?
So you're ruining two countries.
No, I was overseas when the USA lost, and it was like an international celebration, Steve. You know, you just, people, you hear me every day on Midday with Marcus Maben, on Drew Dina Show, on Facebook Live, which we're on right now. What do I tell you? All these games, it's not about you being happy. It's the kids, the battle for the hearts and the minds of the kids, and we just lost a generation. Think about it. All the kids that are 8 years old and up, they saw the United States get busted by Coach Calipari's 19 and under Olympic basketball team. So, Steve, how about this? I knew coming into today that all of the media would be killing Coach Calipari and his lack of offense, his lack of defense, his lack of passing the ball, his lack of execution, his lack of organization, his lack of energy and effort on this USA team. I'm talking about real breakdown. If you saw any of the games, you'd be disgusted.
Right.
Apparently, I'm the only person, or we're the only people who even watched it. But you'd be disgusted, right? Steve, much to my surprise, maybe yours, maybe Brian Hall's. Brian Hall, what's on ESPN as we speak?
So I just got a notification on my app. It says, Kentucky, should John Calipari leave for the NBA?
No. Start over.
Okay.
You got a notification.
So I have the ESPN app, and you know how you get notifications on your phone. As we are coming back out of break and O Canada is playing, after, you know, Team USA under 19 team just lost to Canada, ESPN wants to debate should John Calipari leave for the NBA, and says Myron Metcalf breaks down the pros and cons right now on ESPN.
Think about what is being said right now, people. We like to sound, listen, you accuse us of being conspiracy theory people. Think about what we just said. The Monday morning after the biggest letdown of under 19 USA basketball coached by John Calipari. Do you know what narrative you get on ESPN? Should John Calipari go to the NBA?
Go see if you screw that league up, too.
That's the content you give us on the Monday morning after the most disappointing USA international basketball loss since the Russians in 1980, 78, 80, whenever? That's the content you give me? How is that possible, Steve?
Well, it's possible. I mean, for sure. I mean, we've seen a few stories fly under the radar over the past year. So, you know, why not? Let's spend your agenda.
You mean to tell me ESPN's not asking him why he decided not to take a post-game interview after the worst loss in USA basketball history?
No. No, I'm
you're not surprised at that? You're not going to hold somebody personally accountable for that? Because, listen, we have to defend it all the time.
Yeah.
You play a close game at Grand Canyon, and you get held hostage. And
Rick Pitino's lost it.
And Rick Pitino's lost
it. Team's not very good. I mean,
because Grand Canyon almost beat you,
and you're missing one of your top, or one of the top shot blockers in the country,
and the same Grand Canyon that beat Indiana.
No, it was Fort Wayne.
Yeah. Sorry, thanks.
But yeah, no. I mean, it's the same thing, and then you're battling. You know, oh, what's wrong with Pitino? Nothing.
Should Calipari go to the NBA? And it's not like, has he lost it in college? Should he go to the NBA? Has he accomplished everything he needs to accomplish to now go to the NBA? Yeah. That's the content that you get after his USA poor performance.
That's a good way of putting it.
Alliteration intended. Philly Carl, thanks for joining us on 93.9, my man. What's on your mind?
Hey, man, you know I got to give it to y'all today, man. You know I've got to call you out on your craziness from it. I'm a U.S. veteran, baby, Navy. There's a storm, so I hate Bobby Knight. But Colin Perry is coaching for Team USA. We got to pull for him to get the goal. It ain't his biggest fan, but it's Team USA. So when Marcus asked you, could you pull for him to get the goal, you hesitated. And I got to call you out on that, Rummage. Art Bark could be coaching Team USA. We pull because they're Team USA, baby.
No, look, and I have to admit, I'm with you. I would probably at the end of the day. And by the way, Philly, thank you for your service.
Thank you very much.
I didn't know that.
Thank you for calling out Steve Rummage.
And thank you for calling me out. You're right. You're 100% right. I'd have to pull for him. Usually I'd argue with you, but I can't on this one.
We got to hate on Cal because, you know, this is your bad, but, you know, but he coaches with Team USA, so we got to want him to get
Wait a minute. Who's your biggest rival, Philly Carl?
Well, you know, Nova don't have a big rival, man. We don't have no big rival. Our biggest rival used to be like, you know what I'm saying,
Temple.
Georgetown and stuff. We don't have a big rival.
Temple
is not a rival. Temple is not. Because we play St. Joe's, and St. Joe's, when we had a 5-city classic, they give us more than, you know, than Temple give us.
Would you go 2-28 to watch Calipari win an Olympic? Would you donate your worst season in Villanova history to watch Calipari win a gold medal?
I probably will, man, because it's Team USA, man. As much as
I don't believe you. Thank you for calling me on Midday with Marcus. He's lying. Do you remember that hesitation, that pause that he ridiculed you for?
Yeah, Carl. He hit right back with it, man. After we had a moment, because me and him like to argue.
Right, we had an emotional moment. We had a moment there.
And then he goes,
he wasn't telling the truth.
I don't know, man.
Billy Carl was not telling the truth right there.
No, 100%.
100,000%. So back to the original point. How does he get content of him going to the NBA? And Steve, think about this. 1 week ago, he was shooting down the rumors of trying to get the New York Knicks general manager job. 1 week ago, 10 days ago, right? He just had the worst loss in his career outside of Robert Morris. Oh, that felt good. He just had the worst loss outside of Robert Morris in his entire career, Steve. The Monday morning topic is should he go to the NBA?
Maybe he is.
How is the narrative possible?
Well, I mean, maybe after a loss and talking to a few recruits, maybe he come back and said, you know what, maybe I'm going to rethink that.
Oh, so you think it's him controlling this narrative?
It's very possible. Why wouldn't it be
David Scott?
Well, I mean, yeah, obviously.
Do you find it interesting that John Calipari did not do the post-game press conference either?
No, yeah, we were definitely talking about no. What?
But that's what I'm saying. It kind of goes. He doesn't do the press conference, but then he goes to ESPN and is like, "Hey, can you post this?"
I don't find it interesting that he didn't do the press conference as much as nobody even talked about it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like that. That's fascinating. You know what? I can't do this anymore. Steve, you made a comment to me in the break. I should have went straight to it. I should not have even revisited. Here I am doing University of Louisville a huge disservice. You got Media Day coming up. Steve, before we get into it, SEC Media Day is coming up, right?
Yeah.
Are you willing to acknowledge on air that SEC Media Day means football season is upon us?
Yeah. I mean,
be careful.
No, I will, even though I think it's ridiculous. I mean, what do you guys do for 4 days? I mean,
does Alabama get 1 day?
That is Media Day. What are you talking about? I mean, so, jeez. But I will say, I do have to admit, SEC Media Day is kind of the de facto kick off the college football season for me.
8150 939 is the number. 3831 939 is the text line. People, do you realize ACC Media Day is also covered by our stations, ESPN Louisville in general? This Thursday and Friday are the ACC football kickoff, and ESPN Louisville will be there. All coverage. The Dina Show, The Drive with Mark Ennis, will be broadcasting live from Charlotte. Talking to the biggest names in the ACC, including Bobby Petrino. ACC Media Day's coverage on ESPN Louisville is presented by UPSJobs.com, Fan Outfitters Lids, Don Franklin Auto, and Papa John's. Shout out to PapaJohns.com, by the way. Go to PapaJohns.com, enter promo code MABEN5. It's still summer. You're still not cooking. 3 medium pizzas, $5.55 a piece, and they're Papa John's pizzas. They're the best ingredients pizzas, and they're quick, and you'll love them. And everybody will be happy. Go to Maven. Go to PapaJohns.com. Promo code MAVEN5. It'll take you. So, Steve, I also got to tell everybody, when you miss these shows, when you have to go back to work, when the boss is looming over your shoulder, you know what you should do. Turn off your phone. Turn us off. Right? I don't want you to get fired. I want you to keep your job and be happy. But later on, you go to 939theville.com, people. 939theville.com. Our producer works hard to get the podcast up every single day. The shows are separated in hours. We're going to start posting them as much as possible just so you can get to the link. But you get to the point. Every show, when you miss them, and you know how this is, man. This is a day-to-day thing. You can't miss Monday and Tuesday and think you can just catch up on Wednesday and Thursday. It doesn't work like that.
Right.
Every day.
Every day.
You need to be here. And you can get all our podcasts from the show.
Plug it in on your way home or whatever.
Anytime.
Into the radio and go.
Steve, are we supposed to be salty? How do you answer when people ask, why aren't y'all at Media Day? Richard, thanks for joining us on 93.9. Don't answer that, Steve. What's on your mind?
Hey, Marcus. I just wanted to comment about the Calipari thing. I think you missed the point of the under-19 team.
Right.
It's merely for John to recruit Five-star players like Romeo Langford.
Richard, where have you been all morning? Don't you think that I spent last week and this week and the week before telling everybody that this was a paid recruiting trip by the United States of America? You know I know that.
Well, I just wanted to make sure you mentioned it today.
Okay. Listen, I appreciate the call. Steve? Did Richard think that I didn't know this was a paid recruit? I was trying to figure out why everyone else was so late to the party. I was trying to figure out why everybody thinks it's okay to say, oh, we know Calipari. He's just a recruiter. So it's okay if he goes and tanks the USA Olympic team 19 and under, as long as he keeps getting those players for that year at Kentucky.
Yeah.
Getting the Hamadou Diallo, who sits on campus for an entire basketball season and practices the entire basketball season and is the number one two guard in the entire basketball season. And then when draft day comes, they say, yeah, you might get drafted in the second round at best. So
I had to each their own.
Hey, how about another year of just being at Kentucky until you can get to the league in a couple of months?
Well, like I said, we –
But it doesn't matter, does it?
We got something for them.
That is true indeed. So, Steve, we touched on SEC Media Day. Let me ask you this, Steve. ACC Media Day is on the back end of SEC Media Day. People, there's a shot across the bow. People, SEC Media Day has been the center of the universe, right? For the last, 2 years? I mean, I was going to say 10 years.
Yeah. That's fair.
SEC Media Day is like college football kickoff of the season.
Yeah.
Not anymore. ACC takes the back end of that. People, a little bit of a discussion to be had. Quick commercial break. 8150, 93.9 is the number. We got to tackle this football really big on 93.9 The Ville.
Welcome back to Middays with Marcus Maben, delivered by Papa John's on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Marcus Maben.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Midday with Marcus Maben, 8150. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. We are rolling along. We are rolling along. People, don't think that I gave your boy... Don't think for one second that I was being unfair to the Calipari situation. Don't listen to what I've said before. Listen to each day individually. That man stunk it up with the USA team. He stunk it up on defense. He stunk it up on offense. He made it look like a recruiting trip. Don't call the show and tell me we know that he's just a recruiter. You're not allowed to use my USA Olympic teams to be your personal recruitment and write it off as an expenditure. It doesn't work like that, and I'm not going to be okay with it. So whatever, people, I've done my team a disservice. I've done my school a disservice. I've done my university a disservice. I'm mad at Steve Rummage for not calling me out on this one. I rely on him to make sure I don't get carried away with other subjects. I mean, these subjects might make us a little angry, right? But Steve, did you know that Coach Dan McDonald just got the Coach of the Year, the National Coach of the Year? Our very own baseball coach, Dan McDonald, Coach of the Year.
Yeah, yeah, props to him, man. I mean, that's a big honor. I mean, to have, you know, to be named the Coach of the Year. I mean, it adds on.
You're the best of the best of the best.
You're talking, you have the Heisman Trophy winner, gold medalist. I mean, we can go down the list again. The Golden Spikes Award, the National Baseball Coach of the Year. I mean, the list goes on. And the only reason Patino wasn't Coach of the Year is because we expect you to be there. But, I mean, he had one of the best coaching performances of the year.
Right. Coming off of a band.
Yeah. And, I mean, it was incredible. I mean, what he did. So, and I mean, my gosh, Bobby Petrino had the football team in the top 10 all year pretty much.
So, Steve. Being that we're making a transition into the football conversation.
Yeah.
I asked the question before we went to break. ACC Media Day decided we don't care that SEC Media Day is going on. We feel like as a conference of football, we are on par. We will be on par with the SEC media coverage. What do you think about the strategic move of saying we're gonna put our ACC right during the back end of your SEC Media Day? Because you know what this reminds me of? This is the ACC taking a chunk out of the Tom Jurich playbook. You know what? We want a piece of that Thursday night. Right?
Right.
Well, it's never been done like that before, Tom. Listen, put us there every single night. It's open.
We'll play whoever you want.
Yeah, well, there's no market for there. Tom, it's Thursday night For Christ's sake, what are you doing?
Yep. But everybody in the country is going to watch Louisville football
Guess
play.
What everybody does 5 years later, if they have the opportunity to play on a Thursday night, guess what they're doing, Steve?
Like the NFL does it now.
You show that there's a market when people believe there was no market. Steve, let me say this, and please, people, don't judge me. When I started at the 10 to 12 spot, there was only one show in this building.
Right.
This is the original midday show, right?
Yeah.
When the baton got passed to me, I was told, well, there's really only one guy in this time, and, you know, you're better off not really, you know, messing with that. Right?
Sure.
Fast forward. Now everybody thinks there's room at this spot for a show. Right?
Right.
I was literally told, you don't even want this spot because somebody else owns it. Nah, we'll take it. Tom Jurich, you don't want the Thursday night because, I mean, it's just never been done before.
We're the Tom Jurich's of local radio. No, that's what you're saying.
Stop saying local. Of radio, Steve.
Of radio.
Don't
okay.
put ceilings. No ceilings.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
The ACC, I'm telling you, they took a chunk out of the playbook. You know what? Who cares? You got.
I mean, we just beat you in the national championship.
Just beat you in the national championship. The quarterback, the best quarterback in the ACC is better than the best quarterback in the SEC.
Heck, the second best quarterback.
Right.
We'll just beat you in the national championship
right.
game last year.
The best, your best SEC cornerback, Minkah Fitzpatrick, is ranked the exact same as Jair Alexander.
Right.
So we can say we got the best cornerback.
It's fair.
Stacy Thomas, linebacker.
Nobody rated us high there.
Nobody rated us high. So we're just, and that's just three off the back, boom, boom, boom. Like, if you want to play the coaching game head to toe, if you want to play this game, ACC, I'm glad you're willing to put yourself in the mix of that fight. ACC Media Day is amongst us, right?
Yeah. And I mean, go even the coaching, I mean, I think now you look down the list and you start to go, wait a minute. I mean, you know, hey, they got Nick Saban. I mean, that's the real deal right there.
Keep going.
I mean, but then you go, okay, McElwain seems like he may have it going at Florida fairly well.
You think?
I mean, it seems to be.
That last year's team snuck. Let's be honest. They snuck out.
They did. But I'm saying, like, let's see what he does this year. I mean, and then you got, I mean, after that, it's kind of a, I mean, Kirby Smart, Butch Jones, I mean, where do you go from there? I mean, it's Kevin Sumlin. I mean,
yes.
He's good for the first month.
But you're right. Are we talking about hands down your lineup of coaching being as good?
Yeah, when right off the top you say, okay, well, okay, look over there at the ACC. What do you got? Well, right off the top, you know, Bobby Petrino, Jimbo Fisher. I'm trying to think of who else it would be an elite coach in the ACC. Jimbo Fisher, Bobby Petrino.
Are we going to stop there?
Larry Fedora.
I can't slip my mind. We might be arguing against ourselves.
I just can't. No. I can't think of another name. No, Mark Richt. You know, all these other
elites.
Names. Yeah. I know there's one I'm missing.
So let's do this, Steve.
Dabo Swinney, obviously, but I'm just not going to do it.
You can't leave off Dabo Swinney in the great coaches of the conference, Steve.
I'm just not.
You're being worse than the fan that doesn't want to admit that Calipari did a terrible job.
I'm not doing it.
So, Steve, guess what we stumbled across this morning? We stumbled across the idea, is Louisville going to be ranked second? Is Louisville going to be ranked second in their division?
Yeah, absolutely.
Behind who?
Florida State.
You think they're going to rank Louisville over Clemson? I mean, Vegas has already decided that Louisville will be favored. This is national media we're talking, Steve.
No, not at ACC Media Day. No, Louisville will probably be ranked third in the division.
Louisville will be ranked third in the division no matter what the actual ranking is, no matter what Vegas says. There's just so much national media that won't put Louisville over Clemson, right?
Right.
Like, just they'll figure out some way to win.
Well, right. they'll say, you know, look, Clemson's got a great defense.
Seven. Okay, let me ask you this, Steve. If you win Kentucky, which you're 10-3?
Yeah.
You beat Kentucky, you're 10-3. Are you second, hands down, or still third?
Well, see, because that's tough because are you saying you lost to Michigan? Because I actually think Louisville would have beat Michigan.
No. Let's just do this. Let's say Louisville still would have played LSU in the Orange Bowl. Let's just do that. Right.
I mean, no, not if they showed up. I mean, LSU.
No. We're just going to hypothetically end it with the LSU loss, but we're going to give us the Kentucky win.
Yeah, no, I think it would. Yeah, it would help. I mean, I don't know if it would help.
Would it make the difference?
No, I don't think so.
You still be coming here.
I think you'd still be third.
So you see how interesting that is.
I mean, like, I don't think they're third, but
and like again, Vegas and anybody who ranks these teams and knows about real football and watches it on a consistent basis knows Louisville's second best coming into the year, right?
Yeah, I think if you watched Clemson last year, watched Clemson Louisville play, you go, look what both teams bring back. You don't think the Louisville team's better playing in their place? I mean, like,
right?
That's
That's, you know, the
there's
home
nothing
court
there
event, yeah.
says that Louisville's a better team than Clemson.
You lost Deshaun Watson. Louisville returns Lamar Jackson. I mean, he's that. Period.
I mean, right? Yeah, you could stop the argument nearly there,
right?
And say, okay, that's what it is.
Okay, so coming into the year,
yep.
You put Louisville at 3, right?
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the Kentucky loss. It was a bit of a reminiscent moment. Talked about the Houston loss. You have to answer this question.
Okay.
81-50, 93-9. People, take this moment to relive this situation because we discussed it on Drew Deane's show. I was not going to let this show go by without revisiting this moment a little bit. 4 losses. That Houston loss was the one that you know, that was the brutal one, right?
Yeah.
Do you remember that was the week that Michigan lost?
Mm-hmm.
And it was Michigan?
Michigan, Clemson, and Washington all lost.
And Clemson and Washington. Right there, people. Think about what you're saying. Louisville's number 6, sniffing the outside of the college football playoffs. Everything in life you needed to happen on the landscape. Because 1 week before, everybody was, oh, Marcus, you're stupid. Louisville doesn't have a chance. That team's not going to lose. Washington's going to beat everybody. Michigan's not going to lose. Everybody lost immediately.
Yeah, they did.
I'm talking about Marcus Domus. You weren't going to be able to stand me, right?
No, yeah.
And it all happened perfectly, right? People acted like that was just a wet the bed game. Do you remember, what was it, their governor or their mayor like declared a national state of emergency with Houston? Listen, mandatory, kids get out of school, people got out of work, letters go out. This is national beat Louisville day, right?
Yes.
Why do Alabama get, I mean, not why does Alabama get the pass, but what I'm saying is for as many people get the pass of, man, they were worked up for them that game. Right? They say that about Louisville and the Sugar Bowl. The Teddy Bridgewater Sugar Bowl, right? Yeah. If that game was still going on, Louisville would still be winning. Right?
Right.
But we would even have to admit Louisville was just up for that.
Well, and
you knew we had a bunch of Florida kids, you know,
oh, yeah.
it was something to prove. It was some extra motivation.
Just being down there. I was down there. I mean, you could just talk into the fan bases. Right. It was like, oh, yeah, Louisville's going to win this game.
Yeah,
we got what Houston got.
Yes.
The sports gods bestowed on us a pick 6 to start the game.
Yes.
They got the fumble, on the opening kickoff on the 5-6 yard line.
Yes.
And it says, okay. And Louisville still, if they don't fumble, I think on the drive that would have cut it to 14, I think they win the game.
Because they got it together. It was, okay, put it this way. It was the national state of emergency game. Everybody had lost right in front of you, right?
Yeah.
And Wakey Leaks just hit.
Yeah, as you're getting on the plane.
Getting on the plane, you're being accused of espionage, people. Now, I could see if one of these things, and you tried to use it as an excuse, maybe 2 of them that you tried to use an excuse. 3 teams is enough to say, uh-oh, the actual bad luck place. There was like 7. You know, influences that say, listen, this might not be. And it was, you know, it was the Thursday night game. Like I said, the Wakey Leaks hit. So now you rewind it and you say the offensive line that couldn't deal with the best defensive interior lineman in all of college football.
Right.
Just to add insult to all the injury. Right?
Yeah.
Why does the team all of a sudden have a bad year because of that? Like, why does that say there's something that can't be fixed about this team?
I think it is I don't think the Houston loss is what did it, though. So that's the only place where we differ just a touch, because I think it was more the Kentucky loss. Kentucky's not a respected name across the country.
And you can't let them run the ball.
Yeah, and that's not a – I know they're SEC, but that's not a respected loss. I mean, I talked to a cousin I have up in northern Indiana, nearly in Michigan, and you know, they're Notre Dame people. And we were talking, they said, I mean, Kentucky beat y'all. like it's a joke. Like, dude, you just lost to App State. I mean, like, what are you talking about? I mean, you know, like, you got beat by Kentucky.
Wait a minute. Shout out to App State, my dad graduated from there.
Oh, well, shout out to App State. But I think that, and then there was the LSU game where
that may have been the one.
I think Louisville,
they didn't show up.
They were flat. They were flat, and it was clear, man. It was clear they were.
And you don't
they
get
were
the,
a little
you don't
flat.
Get the motivation excuse for LSU.
No, 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 no. But even though they did, you could tell that LSU team was like, nah, man, we've heard too much about this. We're making it a point. We're gonna make an example. And LSU was playing for a new coach too. That was kind of like, hey, look, we're gonna ride with this dude. So right. We're gonna play hard. And I don't think that's necessarily an indictment on Louisville. Bowl games are bowl games. I mean, that's another conversation for another day. But I mean, Louisville had a lot of guys. He had a lot of guys, man. They're getting ready for the pros.
So what's coming out of SEC? I mean, what's coming out of ACC media day?
Let's
do a little bit of
one thing I think is seriously a narrative that we need to keep up with, because I seen him tweet out again last night. Mike Vick's all out backing of Lamar Jackson
changed the game a bit.
May change the game up a little bit on his Heisman race. And I know, and immediately I think a lot of people go, oh, Steve, yeah, okay, Mike Vick. Listen to me. Mike Vick is making it his personal mission to all out go after the pursuit of saying, look, Lamar Jackson's as good as me, if not better. And I think that that's going to change the game up a little bit, man.
I can't say I disagree. And
that's going to be the reason I say this, because that's going to be a question that's asked a lot this week.
That's going to be a perfect transition. We have the 3 minute. Let me get to these phone lines. Boombox Mike, thanks for joining us on 93.9. What's on your mind?
Afternoon, guys. Or morning still, almost afternoon. Hey, one thing I wanted to ask y'all about. Y'all were talking about this morning with Diener and the whole preseason rankings. Didn't Clemson lose their quarterback, their main wide receiver, their defensive captain, and their running back last year?
Boom.
I mean, indeed. Dang. I mean, how are they going to be number one? They better be pulling some magic out of their little Clemson hat or whatever they got, because that, I don't think that's happening, gentlemen. But y'all talk about it. Y'all have a good day, guys.
No, Mike, listen, I appreciate it.
If there's magic or luck to be had, it will find the Clemson Tigers. No,
and
trust me.
And to be fair, this is where you start separating your opinions with everybody else. What I mean by that is, you never worry about an Alabama injury. You never worry about a Clemson injury. You never worry about a USC injury. You always assume that the next diamond in the rough is coming up. Almost like there's an excitement when one of their star players gets injured, because it's like, how good can this next guy be?
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Once you get that depth of that reputation of depth, you get a pass. So you lose your quarterback, you definitely get a different level of pass.
No, I agree
than
with
anybody
that.
Else. So on the back end of your Mike Vick comment about the machine. Once the machine gets behind you, it the narratives change. And then you have the machine working against you.
Yeah.
Right? Where the narrative shapes public opinion. I don't know why there's such an agenda. It seems to be an agenda, but there's an urge to find a reason that somebody else is better than Lamar Jackson. We see it all the time, but I heard it here. Brian, be ready to stop. Because I might do a quick stop during this clip. ESPN this morning watched one of these narratives on Lamar Jackson.
Our college football insider Phil Steele here with us in studio on Mike and Mike here on ESPN Radio. You don't have Lamar Jackson as one of your Heisman favorites. Why?
Well, here's the thing. When you have a returning Heisman Trophy winner like that, and you put up the stats you did, you're not only competing against the JT Barretts, the Baker Mayfields, the Sam Darnolds of the world, you're competing against your stats from last year. And Jackson last year, over 5,000 yards total offense. I mean, he had 3,500 yards passing, 1,500 yards rushing. You combine his TDs, passing and rushing, over 50. Is he going to get to 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns
no.
this year? I don't think so. And people are going to say, he had an off year, even if he put up great stats. And the second thing was, it seemed like defenses caught on to him at the end of the year. Remember, they averaged 49 points per game their first 10 games. They only averaged 19 points per game their last three. So I think Jackson takes a little step back.
Okay. That's the part that I can say that's a fair narrative.
I don't know. I don't know about the end, man. I don't know the defense has caught on to Lamar Jackson. When Lamar Jackson got an open field, defense wasn't catching on. They caught on that you could blitz the middle of the offensive line.
Right, no.
Yeah.
that narrative was Lamar-centric instead of saying, you know, the weaknesses of Louisville kind of got exposed, right?
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah, it wasn't direct. But see here's the part. The part of the clip that I was trying to get to, the next question, it's okay. I can paraphrase it. The next question was basically who's going to win the Heisman Trophy? Who's the front runner? Of course, what's the name did they say? Sam Darnold.
Yeah, right. That's the consensus name.
People, listen to this. This is what I wanted to pick apart. I didn't have my cable wire and shouldn't be telling everybody on air, but I dropped the ball today. The question was asked immediately following the Lamar Jackson comment. Who's your guy to win the Heisman? Sam Darnold. Why? He proceeds to say, well, Sam Darnold, I mean, first of all, he's a big kid. Stop right there. If I ask you, Steve, why do you think Sam Darnold is going to be better than Lamar Jackson in a college football season? And your first response is, well, first of all, he's a big kid. Would I be fair to just shut my ears off right at that moment? Would I be fair to say, Steve, when you tell me, when we're going out on our evening events, right? And you tell me, hey, Marcus, she has the prettiest eyes you ever seen.
Okay, here we go. Let's do this.
Hey, Marcus, she has some sandals on. Her toes were phenomenal.
Yeah, that's...
Now, unless I'm a confirmed toe fetish guy.
Yes.
What you just told me is something that didn't have anything to do with what, with the details of this date.
Yeah.
So you would not... Forget. I mean, you would not blame me if I stopped listening to you after you complimented her toes, right?
No, yeah, that's fair.
That's what that sounds like to me. Let's see if we can play this clip.
Well, here's the thing. When you have a returning Heisman Trophy winner like that and you put up the stats you did, you're not only competing against the JT Barretts, the Baker Mayfields, the Sam Darnolds of the world. You're competing against your stats from last year. And Jackson last year, over 5,000 yards total offense. I mean, he had 3,500 yards passing, 1,500 yards rushing. You combine his TDs, passing and rushing, over 50. Is he going to get to 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns this year? I don't think so. And people are going to say, he had an off year, even if he put up great stats. And the second thing was, it seemed like defenses caught on to him at the end of the year. Remember, they averaged 49 points per game their first 10 games. They only averaged 19
you can pull
points
that. No,
per
no,
game.
No, we were trying to get to the part where...
Sorry, that was my fault. I was scrambling and I was trying to find it for you.
I was
going to
say, sorry, people. We all dropped the ball on that one. That's fine. Now I got somebody messing up with me. Good job, Ryan. You got me out of water myself. Out of hot water. But Steve,
yeah,
you get the point. We talk about this a lot of times. Narrative, generating narratives. It's like after a coach loses the worst game of the year, then the next day you start talking about, is he going to the pros? Right?
Yeah.
Just a narrative that doesn't fit. Hey, why is Lamar Jackson or why is Sam Darnold better than Lamar Jackson? Well, first of all, he's big. Did height or size have anything to do with Lamar Jackson's season?
Well, no, and he says later in that too, he says, so he's big and he says, and he's probably going to be the top quarterback taken in the draft.
Yes. That was the other point.
Okay. And what's that mean to his season this year? Because USC could win 8 games and he could be the top quarterback taken in the draft.
I think he might have said he's mobile too.
Well, I mean, he can move a little bit for a bigger guy,
you're missing my point. This is a direct response to why is he better than Lamar Jackson? He's mobile, throws off the run.
Yeah, he did say he can throw off the run. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, okay, so
That's why you're selling me on this guy's better?
And here's why I don't necessarily buy the narrative where people are saying, well, his biggest competition. I mean, I buy the narrative because I agree with what Phil Steele said. The biggest competition probably is his last year, but he's the type of player that cannot have as good a stats. Maybe he don't go for 5,000 total yards and 51, but he could have 3 more plays that make you go, oh my God, stop everything in every game, and you're going to show that highlight, that clip right there. You're going to, I mean, think about this. The Syracuse hurdle was on a Friday night. Imagine if he would have did that on noon on Saturday.
It would have disappeared.
No, it would.
I believe it would have disappeared.
Oh, no, it would.
I think Friday was the perfect scenario.
No, see, I don't. I think that would have been, because the next day, it was, Steve, what happened?
Steve, we're going to fight about this.
No, I agree. He didn't win the Heisman because the hurdle. He won the Heisman because the Florida State game and because the Clemson game. He won
the
Heisman
because the hurdle was on the Friday night. Are you sure, Steve?
No, I'm backing that one. Like I think that right there, you say, okay. I mean, now the performance was good. I mean, you get a Thursday night and a Friday night.
When did Lamar Jackson win the Heisman? 81-50, 93-9 is the number. We're going to get to this phone line really, really, really quick. Get in quick, people. You only got a couple more seconds left. Madison, thanks for joining us on 93.9. Settle some debates. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm getting really tired of hearing everybody talk about how everybody's better than Lamar Jackson. But I did want to comment on earlier y'all were talking about, of course, which I know you knew you were going to be talking about, the whole Calipari situation. We know how people are, certain people, how they can't stand to admit when he's ever wrong or when he should have done so. All they can do is turn around and say, oh, scandal, scandal. I just can't wait till we start winning so they can't even turn around and say that. But, yeah, that's what I wanted to say about basketball. But in regards to football, yeah, I heard that soundbite you played. I was watching that or listening to that too, and I was like, how in the world? He's big. How do you start a sentence after Lamar Jackson had the season that he had, the Heisman-winning season, and start telling somebody he's better by saying he's big. So what? Like, everybody counted Lamar Jackson out to begin with. Everybody was all on Deshaun Watson and how good he was. And everybody's going to doubt Lamar Jackson again. And I just can't wait for him to come out, the whole football team, honestly, to come out and just kill everybody this year. And hopefully we can make that Final Four. But
I know we'll that's right. I know that's right, Maddie. We always appreciate your call. And listen, run away from dogs? Sneaking out of work so we can talk? Don't get fired
on. Do what you gotta do.
I was gonna say don't get fired on our behalf. Who's that on this online too?
Jerry.
Ooh, Jerry, thanks for joining us on 93.9, my man. What's on your mind?
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. I know at the end of the show, so I'll be quick. I got three reasons why Lamar Jackson's gonna win the Heisman Trophy.
Fire him away. Fire him away. We're on the countdown.
One, Lamar Jackson, that guy has went underground and disappeared. He is in the lab getting prepared.
Good point.
He's going to have a huge jump between a sophomore and junior year. Two, Mike Summers, fantastic offensive line coach. Big step up over Klonakis. Even if he just makes that line good, not great, Lamar is going to have a great year. Finally, third point, Lamar Jackson's going to have a better class of receivers this year. You're replacing James Quick, which was a big disappointment in my opinion, with a guy named Dez Fitzpatrick, and he's going to be ready to go alongside Jalen Smith. They're going to be awesome. That's all I got.
Jerry, I appreciate the call. I can't say I disagree. We've talked about that. I like that Mike Summers thing.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Receivers are getting better. Strong. Growing up. Jalen Smith, he's on those lists too. The big long receptions, mm-hmm. He's popping up on a lot of biggest, best deep threat in all of college football. Ooh. Josh, thanks for joining us on 93.9. You're our last on the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, what's up, Marcus?
Chilling.
Hey, besides Kentucky sucking, Lamar won the Heisman the Florida State game, bruh, after he did that little spin move in the end zone and then got on the cover of SI. That's what put it on lock.
So, listen, I appreciate the call. We got to play out. Listen, so you say Clemson?
No, I said Florida State or Clemson, the Saturday games. Florida State. No, I say Clemson because what he did at Clemson,
I thought he was legit then.
But it's that Saturday, man.
Friday night hurdle.
He did it on Friday.
Friday night hurdle.
They don't play on Saturdays. That's the way people look at it. If he did it on Saturday, they'd went, oh, big boy, Saturday.
Man, you're going to fight about this. We're going to fight about this all year. Maybe we'll just start extending the show and doing it online, YouTube. Maybe 939 TV bonus or something. Hour. I know, bonus hour online. Midday with Marcus Maven, just starting our week. You ain't going on vacation, are you?
Next week, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm getting out of here.
I'm in 2 weeks.
So. Ooh, what am I going to do? Everybody's leaving me. But we'll still be here 10 to 12 every day. 8150, 93.9 is always the number. Oh, my God, I love it on 93.9.